This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The disciples heard this and so fell on their faces terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And lifting up their eyes, they saw only Jesus. Amen. The disciples were afraid. And we can empathize with them because there are many things that frighten us. Lack of money, failing health, an oppressive government, a baby's coming and you're not prepared, storms, droughts, earthquakes, a child going down the wrong path. Even the holy word of God can frighten us whenever we hear his law with its demands and what our God commands, and it shows us our sins, our transgressions right in front of our face. There are many things that frighten the Christian. Even when Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Don't fear that which kills the body, but not the soul. Take heart," says our Lord. "I've overcome the world. I've redeemed it with my body and my blood. That means you're mine. You belong to me. You are in my hands. You are in my grasp. And nothing can take that away." Our Lord says this stuff. Your God says this stuff. The same God who creates matter from nothing, establishes the mountains and quiets the seas. God is clear. But creation and our sinful flesh rob us of the joy. The joy of resting comfortably in his promises and realizing we are his children. And despite a chaotic, sinful world, God's will and purpose will prevail. God is sure to preserve his church and he will keep her pure, holy, and faithful in Christ. These are God's promises. And they belong to the baptized faithful. Yet there are still many things that frighten us and take away the joy that is ours by being God's baptized child. Why does it happen? Why do we come to church on Sunday and we hear God's word? We get to mingle with other Christians, receive his sacraments, and we leave feeling pretty good, nourished, strengthened, ready to take on the world, and by midweek we're nervous, anxious, worried, and afraid. Doesn't take very long. Why does it happen? Well, the simple answer is because we're sinful, and that's true. But I want to be even more specific and say sin causes us to see more than we should. Sin causes us to see more than we should. What I mean by that is simply this. We see more than just Jesus. And so we get afraid. The disciples saw Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. But when God spoke in that radiant, overshadowing cloud, the disciples cowered in fear. They bowed their face to the ground, too afraid to speak, too afraid to lift up their eyes. They were gripped in terror by the voice of the Almighty God. They were frightened. They were speechless until what happened? Jesus came. And he touched them. And he said, "Rise and have no fear." It's as if God said to them, "You may stand in my presence because I have forgiven you. Rise and have no fear. I have robed you in my love, my mercy, and my righteousness. Have no fear." Friends, these are words of absolution, of grace and pardon spoken to the frightened sinner. Have no fear. These are the words Christ spoke to his disciples, and by that word they looked up to see only him, their Savior, and they could rest in his peace and in his mercy and in his love. Have no fear. At those words, the disciples saw only Christ. looking at Christ only. That means believing and trusting in Christ alone. It means hearing His voice only, seeing Him only, worshiping Him only as your God. The problem is, we see more than just Jesus in this world, don't we? He's not all we see. No, we see a world of chaos and destruction. We see a world filled with sin in which babies die. A world where the created order of marriage, that wonderful institution, there are those who would overthrow that institution and destroy God's created order. We live in a world where we see homelessness, starvation, debilitating disease, sickness, yes, even death. We see not just Jesus, but our temptations. Those temptations to get angry. Temptations to procrastinate when a neighbor needs you. Temptations to take vengeance. Temptations to gossip because you feel empowered. We see those temptations to be anxious, frightened, and afraid, even though God's word forbids those things and tells us not to be afraid. We see our Lord Jesus say, "I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one goes to the Father except through me." But in this world, we also see many paths, many trails, many highways that seem to lead directly to the throne room of God. Just take your pick. We see our emotions, and they're powerful. And they move us to act in ways contrary to Holy Scripture. We see people arguing vociferously that there are many paths to God. Believe in whoever or whatever you want, and don't worry, God will still be kind to open to you the gates of heaven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we see many things that impede our vision from looking at Jesus alone. We even see His almighty law, that word of God that tells us what we ought to do, and it's scary when that law shows us our sins and says those sins belong to you. We see a lot, don't we? A lot more than just Jesus. And it can be downright scary, and these things frighten us. But it was by the word of Jesus. It was by the word of Jesus that the disciples rose out of their fear. It was by the words of Christ that the disciples were freed from their paralysis of sin. And by His word, what did they see only? Only Jesus. In Christ and by Christ, they behold before them God in the flesh. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and that marks the beginning of the Lenten season. And during the season of Lent, we will think about and hear about quite a bit the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through the season of Lent, as we hear about His crucifying death and all that that has achieved for us, it is important that we remember who we serve. And that is, Jesus is true God and true man, just as we confess in the Nicene Creed. We say that creed a lot, but that creed is important. The Nicene Creed is important because it was written largely in part to combat the major heresies that said Jesus really isn't God, but He's a creation by God with God's power in Him. The early church, friends, the early church spent many, many years fighting to preserve the Nicene Creed. This is, Jesus is exactly as we see Him in the Transfiguration, the gospel text for today. An event that looks very familiar to the Old Testament lesson in Exodus 24. In the Old Testament lesson today, it talks about Moses ascending Mount Sinai, right? And when he's on top of the mountain, what happens? He encounters God, the ever-living God, and God gives him His word. He gives him the Ten Commandments. That's the Old Testament. Now, flash forward to the New Testament Transfiguration. Once again, sounds familiar. Here's Moses up on a mountain, hearing the word of God, as this time he and Elijah speak to Jesus Christ. They are speaking with God of God, light of light, very God of very God, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. They see Yahweh in the flesh. And here Yahweh transfigures before them, and he speaks to them about his mission to go to the cross, where there on the cross, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, will lay down his life to raise up yours. On the cross, the Son of God dies to give you life, to give you pardon and forgiveness and life everlasting. Why is the Nicene Creed so important? Because it tells us who Jesus is. True God and true man. Not just a mere man. Reduce Jesus to being just a man, and you have no atonement and you have no salvation. Why do I say that? Because quite simply, only God can conquer sin and death. Only the blood of God can atone for the sins of the entire world, and he has done it in the person and work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see Jesus, and you see your God. You have access to the Father through the Son. You behold the glory of God when you behold the God-man, Jesus Christ, who says to you, Christian, rise and have no fear. That's your promise. The promise that you can stand in his presence and have no fear. Because you are forgiven. You are loved. You have his mercy. And listen to this. All those things that frighten you, no matter what it may be, all those things have been overcome by his cross and his blood. There is no need to be afraid. Even as chaotic and as sinful as creation is, it too has been redeemed by Jesus, and our Lord is sure to make it anew when he comes back again. So as you go through the season of Lent, indeed, as you go through every day of your life, remember who it is you serve, your Lord and your God. Let us pray that God continues to give us eyes to see the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, even as we make our pilgrimage in a world teeming with sin. Let us pray our Lord continues to, by his word, give us eyes to see Jesus and him only. Repent and hear this word of God. And leave knowing that in Christ there's no need to be afraid. He has taken care of you. And he will do so until the very end of the age. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.